How do we get from a first tournament for English Football League clubs to sell its naming rights to a trophy that Spurs won in 2005?
Hello and welcome back to Wikipedia Wanderers Season 3, Episode 3, Joshua Cole. We are on a roll, unlike the topics we've picked today, which are defunct trophies, if you hadn't figured that out.
Could be the start of a defunct series. We've got defunct...
What, our series?
Oh, God. No, but we do a subsection in it. So we've got defunct tournaments, do defunct clubs, clubs going out of business, stadiums that are no longer used, players who retired early.
Yeah, okay.
What else we got?
Defunct
rules.
Rules, yeah, why not? Like, well, there used to be like kick-ins, didn't there, before throw-ins? And
well, kick-ins were before throw-ins. I think the rule that springs to mind is keepers being allowed to pick up a back pass.
Oh yeah,
how was it ever allowed?
It's weird, isn't it, to think how was that ever allowed before. Okay, I like this, Josh. Yeah, we could have a couple of defunct episodes in here, which is also a really cool word, defunct. It's not used enough.
It is, isn't it? I quite like saying it, defunct.
Defunct.
Because it's got funk.
Yeah.
Really, the sound is funk.
Yeah.
And you don't get to say the word funk enough in life.
Well, you can say it as much as you want, mate. I think the thing is, I think I know what you mean. You want to say it more, but the looks you get would be like...
I don't know how I'd interweave that into any sentence.
You don't think you'd be like, oh, that was funky. What a funky shot.
No. It'd more so be, God, I'm going to write a funk today. Like saying it's a negative thing, I'm a bit of a funk. But still, then I couldn't pull it off.
I reckon there's a golf shot in there somewhere you can name as a funk.
Like, I've absolutely funked it.
Yeah, like instead of like thinning a chip, you funked it. Oh, God, yeah. I funked that.
Should we try and get funk, a new term for funk?
Yeah.
Is that a new definition?
Yeah? The golf dictionary. Try and get in the golf dictionary. Funk.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll take that off air. Josh, question for you. I want you to give me the lowest ranked competitive trophy that you could win to, in your opinion, to the highest ranked competitive trophy that you could win. And we'll go club football only, I think.
Okay, so
because the World Cup will be the pinnacle, right?
Yeah. And in club football, it is obviously the Club World Cup. Because that is...
Really?
No. It's the Champions League is the pinnacle.
Good, thank you.
The lowest, and we'll just kind of focus on a nation because obviously everybody has their trophies, but the lowest, now are we calling like Community Shield?
It's a competitive competition, yeah.
Okay, that's the lowest of the low.
Okay, right, good. So that then is the lowest.
Then you've got Super Cup.
Yeah.
And also Club World Cup, all those, they're the three most minor of the trophies,
now,
I'd say.
Do you think the Club World Cup gets a bad rep just because it's at a bad time of the year for us? Because, like, the Brazilians take it really seriously, don't they?
Yeah, it could be. It could be a lot more. And it used to be called something different, actually. It was actually defunct.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. It was called the Intercontinental Trophy,
Called the Intercontinental Cup. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and it had some really bad kind of crowd trouble and things like that, actually.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, but yeah, honestly, it should be one of those things, like you're going, like kind of mates sitting around going, if I were to design a tournament, going, well, why don't you have the winners of the UEFA Champions League play against all the other continents? That sounds great. But when it comes to it, it's like English side or the European side's obviously the best because there's just such a disparity in the kind of federation's kind of club football, isn't there?
It's a strange competition where... If let's say Spurs won it, but let's say Spurs won it, and well, you've got to win a trophy to actually get there. So,
2005 Peace Cup, does that not count?
I don't think that qualified for the World Club Cup Championship. But if Spurs got there right, and Spurs won it, I would go to you and be like, I mean, this is all hypothetical, obviously, but I'd go to you and be like, it's only the Club World Cup. But if you lost it in the final. I'll be like, as if you haven't won the World Club Cup. I mean, come on.
There is definitely a difference in scale between winning and losing things, isn't there, when it comes to banter.
And the other thing, the only other competition I can think of that is the League Cup. Because I think the Community Shield, win it or lose it, no one really cares. Mm. Like, in terms of fans or neutral fans or competition fans or something. But the League Cup is another one. you win the League Cup and you're like, well, it's a trophy. That's a major trophy. It's an honour. It's going on the list. We've done it. But if you lost that final, someone would be like, Spurs have lost another one.
Oh, absolutely. And also, it's not big enough to tick it off and to satisfy So say Harry Kane, Spurs win the League Cup this coming season. People will still go, oh yeah, where's your proper trophy? Yeah. Where's your
major?
Even if you win the FA Cup, I think people would still, oh, where's your league?
Yeah, probably. They probably would. Yeah, they probably would.
I think only winning the league or the Champions League do you satisfy that kind of that demand.
I think at that level, yeah. At Harry Kane's level, I think that satisfies that demand. I mean, you know, when Wigan beat Man City in the FA Cup, I think they were like, everyone was like,
100%.
Yeah, they'd done it. So, but anyway, moving on to our tournaments, Josh. And you alluded to what yours is, the Peace Cup. Still ongoing, I want to say, to this day. No, it's defunct. Of course it's not.
Well done, Dave. Dave gets the topic on question here. Is this defunct tournament still going? No, sorry.
I've really funked that up, didn't I?
Yeah, so, you did.
Yes, but we're going to the Peace Cup in 2005, which Spurs won, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first off, Josh, yeah, I'm starting with a trophy that we hadn't have heard of until we randomly started looking up this topic. I don't think the listeners would have heard of the Watney Cup. And it was the first tournament for English Football League clubs to sell its naming rights. And the more I read it, the more I want this competition to come back. I want someone to set this up. You know, like, make it really retro. Call it, like, the Sabutio Cup or something. Like, bring it back.
Why not the Watney Cup still?
Because I don't know if Watney Man are still about a business, whereas Sabutio is actually still technically a business and it's retro. It's like someone would have bought JVC, right? JVC somewhere is an arm of something, probably. Still going. Call it the JVC Cup, something like that. Anyway, it sounds amazing, straight from the off. It was a tournament in England which was contested by the teams that had scored the most goals in each of the four divisions of the Football League that previous season who hadn't been promoted or made Europe.
Oh, okay, right.
So
nice.
Basically you would assume that the league winners have probably scored the most goals or would be up there, right? So they've got promoted. Second place, I think, you know, you're looking at what would be now the Championship and League One and League Two, they would all go up automatically. Whoever wins the playoffs will go up automatically, so they're out. So you're already looking at, like, potentially fifth, sixth.
Yeah, you're kind of going fifth down to the bottom top scorers in the league.
Yeah, like, unbelievable. Like, lovely stuff. I mean, the heartbreak of it could be if you got to the playoff final, lost, but you were the league top goal scorers and then got put in this competition. Because you'll be like, that's a bit of a kicker, innit? Because you're playing these. But yeah, I mean, unbelievable. And the good things about it didn't end there. Straight knockout format. One off, no replays, none of that nonsense. Just get it straight done. The final took place at the home ground of one of the finalists rather than a neutral venue. So just drew that out of a hat. Who gets to play at home? Brilliant. I love a bit of that. It was the first Football League competition to sell its naming rights, to selling them to Watney Man Brewery, which was amazing. It ran four times from 1970 to 1973 before being discontinued, which, I mean, it does... I think it is of our benefit that we're starting at this one, because I don't know how any of these teams that I'm going to mention would have this on their page. I can't imagine it's mentioned at all. But the first season of the competition ran with all the normal rules of football at the time. Had all your standard rules, you know, and they thought, well, that's not fun. We've got all the top goal scorers in this, like top team goal scorers in this competition. Let's try and make it more entertaining. How would you do that, Josh? How would you make football more entertaining? You want more goals, right? That's what they're trying to do in this competition.
Add another football. Two footballs.
You're going American multi-ball.
Multi-ball.
Wow.
Yeah, massive goals.
Like, okay. Moving goals? Height. Moving posts? Like...
Shuffles across.
Yeah, maybe they rotate around the edge.
Side to side, yeah.
Like...
Yeah, one of those two.
Yeah, okay, nice. They didn't go for those, as you could probably imagine. No, they went to change the offside rule. Not abandon it, but change it. So they said the offside rule only applies from the edge of the penalty area rather than the halfway line.
Okay, so so you can only be offside if you're ahead of the penultimate man in the box.
In the box, yeah. Or beyond the box, right? Because out wide would still count. is not just in the box.
Yeah, so a line of box. So you therefore encouraging a deep defence.
Yes, exactly. The measure was designed to reduce midfield congestion and promote more goals. It was introduced because at the time, defences were becoming much better organised.
Hold on a minute, but you're trying to encourage goals, but what's the tact that people take when they're trying to defend and trying to hold on to a lead? They creep back and have a very low block.
Yeah.
I don't get this.
No, but I imagine it's because they went through the logic of early on in the game, like if you're not holding on to a lead, you just put a striker on the penalty box, standing on the edge of the penalty box, Michael Owen, Ruud van Nistelrooy-esque sort of thing, and their defence has to mark him, and therefore there's loads of space in midfield for bluters.
Yeah, and you are going to stretch that game right out.
Yeah.
Because in my example, normally only one side is on the edge of their box. With two, it's like, wow, it's a big pitch.
Yeah, yeah. But it didn't, you know, the rules didn't end there with what they changed. This was the first ever penalty shootout that took place in England in this competition. It was in the semi-final of the 1970 tournament, so the first tournament held, between Hull City and Man United. The penalty shootout was won by Man United, and the first footballer to ever take a competitive penalty in England in a competition was George Best, which is very nice. First one to ever miss one was Dennis Law. So in the same competition, it was saved by Hulkey goalkeeper Ian McKechnie, which is an interesting name. What are you laughing?
Smooth as anything, Dave, that was.
Well, I didn't expect it to have a big K. I was expecting Ian McKechnie.
I looked about like, why aren't you saying McKennie? Oh, it's not.
Because it's not, yeah. Ian McKechnie. McKechnie, the goalkeeper, actually became the first player to miss the deciding kick. His shot went wide while taking the fifth kick for Hull. Why is your goalkeeper taking the fifth penalty?
Number five. Oh, come on. They're not taking this seriously.
Bloody hell. But, so, winners we've had are Derby County, who beat Man United 4-1 in the final at the baseball ground. Derby's old... old
goals. Five goals. Bang.
Five goals. The 1971 final, the first year they introduced the new offside rule. The final, 4-4.
Goals.
Absolutely goals. Next year... Bristol Rovers v Sheffield United, 0-0.
No goals.
No goals.
Loads of goals and penalties, though. 13 goals and penalties.
And then 1973, the last competition, Stoke City beat Hull City 2-0. And a nice little touch, Derby County had the trophy presented back to them in 1975 when the competition completely dissolved. And they put it in their trophy cabinet. And in 2018, it was spotted by the chairperson of Stoke City Fans Council. And he arranged a share deal between Derby and Stoke because Stoke City were the last team to win it. So they somehow share the trophy now. I don't know if they're just.
I mean, Derby have probably, if you pay them a fiver, they'll probably just give up that shared ownership right now, I'd have thought.
Yeah. So, but some interesting teams have taken part. You've got the likes from the fourth division, Aldershot, Peterborough United, Colchester, Crewe, Lincoln, Mansfield. Bristol, Halifax Town got in it, Wrexham, Fulham, Reading, Hull, Sheffield United, Carlisle, Luton, and then the bigger teams, Derby, Man United, West Brom, Wolves, Stoke and West Ham, all from the First Division. And that's the Watney Cup, the Watney Man Invitational Cup.
But none of those sides are PSV, Tottenham, Lyon, Aston Villa, Hamburg, are they? Huh?
No.
What do those five sides have in common, Dave?
They haven't won much in recent history.
Apart from they're all winners of the Peace Cup.
Oh, there you go. The Peace Cup.
Peace Cup. So held by the Sun Moon Peace Football Foundation. And it was first founded in 2003 and then abolished in 2012. It's quite a harsh terminology used there. So five tournaments in total as they played in alternate years. Four out of those 5 years were held in South Korea with a rogue tournament held in Spain. And it doesn't tell me why. As I said, there have been five winners, with PSV winning the inaugural tournament, defeating Lyon. Tottenham winning in 2005, defeating Lyon. Lyon finally getting their hands on a trophy in 2007, beating Bolton Wanderers.
Okay.
Villa beating Juventus in the Spain tournament, when the final one was by Hamburg, who beat the team had always been in it, because they are this team, a South Korean side, also sponsored by the tournament host, is Seongnam Ilhwa Chunma.
Excellent.
So they were always in it, and they were actually finally a runner-up.
So just so that the listeners don't get confused, this isn't the current Peace Cup that is currently running in 2022, which has just finished with AS Kigali beating APRFC 1-0 in Rwanda.
No, no, in case they were watching that tournament, thought, hey, Josh, this is not defunct. No, it's not that tournament. So typically 8 teams competed, 7 invitational, and then that one South Korean side, who are owned by the organising company. The Spain tournament had 12 teams, and then the final tournament had 4 teams. So yeah, the first 3 teams were true. If you won in one of the first 3 tournaments, I'd say you've won pretty something special there. That was textbook in South Korea, 8 sides. So PSV, Lyon and Tottenham probably have the most bragging rights there. It was typically 2 groups of 4, the winner of each meeting in the final. We also have a nice little section here, the Golden Ball.
I'm shaking my head at this. You can't give someone a trophy called the Golden Ball and the Golden Shoe when those trophies are actually real things in world football.
Yeah, surely. It's just for that tournament. It's just a pick up and place insert here. What are you going to give the top goal scorer in a tournament, man? It's always going to be the golden shoe, no?
Top goal scorer award. Yeah, but I mean, don't call it the same as what something is in proper world football. The golden ball is what the best player in the world wins, right?
I don't know. What's it called when you win the top goal scorer in the Premier League?
The golden boot.
What's it called when you win the top goal scorer in another tournament, say the World Cup?
The golden boot.
Right, it's just interchangeable, isn't it?
No, but they're proper competitions, Josh. This is
the Peace Cup. No! Don't do us dirty like that. Come on.
Okay.
The golden ball was given to the top 3 players: a golden ball, a silver ball, and a bronze ball for the top 3 ranked players in each tournament. Voted for by the media. Some cracking names there. Got Park Ji Sung, Ian Robin, Robbie Keane, Lee Young Pyo, Nicholas Anelka, UC Askalainen, Benzema, Ashley Young, Hulk, Mark Albrighton, Marcus Berg. And some very interesting names there. And Golden Shoe. So Mark Van Bommel was actually top scorer first tournament. Robbie Keane, Kim Kallstrom, Hulk, and then a player I've never heard of, Mitchell Shett.
I'm going to say he's the only one, because I've never heard of him, he might be the only one that actually has this on his page to say he won the Golden Shoe in the Peace Cup.
That is true. I have no idea what his career looks like to get to Mitchell Shett. He seems like a Dutch version of Mehmet Scholl.
I was thinking that, yeah.
And then finally the page finishes with a controversy section. So the original name of the competition was to be Sun Moon Peace Cup, named after Sun Myung-moon, the founder of the foundation. However, after being criticised it was too religious, the organisation changed its name to World Peace King Cup and started preparation for its first tournament. But before that, the ageing football generation warned that the term world can only be used by FIFA competitions and king can only be used by competitions held in a kingdom. So 50% of the words they used in that title were invalid, which makes it become Peace Cup.
Wow.
Because world and king got taken
out. I feel like FIFA's... the king bit I can potentially understand, like king, kingdom, that sort of, I can sort of understand that. I feel like FIFA not allowing people to use the word world is too much power.
I don't know. I get very irked by seeing in America the World Series being competed.
But that's because it's just American teams, right? It's American and Canadian teams. At least this has different countries from all around the world. I just feel like FIFA having the word world restricted is too much.
I feel
power.
Like someone needs to own that world title.
And you want to give it to FIFA?
Well, they're the world footballing organisation, so they are probably the best place for it. I'm not saying all uses of the term world. they can't speak to the...
That should be like the UN.
Yeah.
Maybe not even then. Yeah. That's not everyone, is it? The UN. Can't give it to the UN. Bloody hell.
God, who can have a world title? I don't know.
Maybe we'll have to get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. Okay.
We're the world, aren't we? We're on different time. We're half the world away, as Oasis sang once. So, did you like that?
Yeah.
Did you like that? Thank you. Yeah. Right. How on earth are we going to get to this trophy?
minor honours on a football woman page, I've got a feeling that someone's got to have this. I don't think all of them will, but someone will.
No. You think this is listed on someone's page, a player's page?
No, a club. I think I'm looking at you, Bolton Wanderers.
I'm looking at Bolton and Groningen, I think.
Groningen didn't win it though, so I mean that's really scraping a barrel.
Neither did Bolton. They lost to Leon in the final. Yeah.
Like, is that because they're in, sorry, Groningen weren't even in the final. They can't even put runners up. They put competed. At least Bolton could put runners up, I suppose.
I tell you which club will have this on their page, and that is Songnam in Wan Chunma.
My only other hope is Leon, because they've got two runners up and one winners, but they've got also won a lot of other stuff.
Honestly, I don't know. I think this might be the first ever failure for Wikipedia Wanderers. Given the fact we don't put a time limit on it, but I will have to go to bed eventually.
I think it might be we're having like trial and error, basically. We're going to have to pick a few clubs.
Yeah.
And then have to work our way back out of it into another club.
Bloody hell.
Which is the first one we're going to choose?
Well, the Watney Club, I mean, the problem with picking
Bolton, isn't it?
The picking a club is that they're all big teams, pretty much. The ones we run. Bolton aren't in it, Josh. Bolton aren't in the Watney Cup.
No, but I'm thinking Watney Cup, going to have some English clubs, makes it a little bit easier. So what makes this much more difficult? Well, it narrows it down, actually. We use Bolton Wanderers in Season 1, Episode 1.
Oh, God. That
was our second ever page, actually.
Yeah, and it would have been for... Oh, I want to say it was a player who was a little bit chubby, blonde hair, scored an amazing goal against Hull, I think it was. Did a lovely turn, Cruyff turn.
Just to satisfy your demand there, LH Juve, Bolton Wanderers, Johan Elmander, 2002 UEFA Cup final, Pierre van Hooijdonk.
I was thinking of Johan Elmander. That's who I was thinking of, yeah.
Okay, so we cannot go to Bolton. So that leaves PSV... Tottenham, Villa, Hamburg, Lyon, Groningen. Because we don't even know the other side is involved.
No, that's very true.
Juventus.
Because Juventus are going to have that on their page, aren't they? Bloody hell. Right, we've got to think of it logically. So we've got to jump forward in time. We've got to get from the 1970s to 2005, like whatever it is, 2003 to 2000 and whatever. We do have football stadiums we can look at. The baseball ground, Derby's old place, the Hawthorns, Eastville Stadium, which is Bristol Rovers' old stadium, Victoria Ground, which is an old stadium for Stoke.
So we've got three defunct stadiums?
Three defunct stadiums, yeah.
That's not going to help us go that far forward in time.
It's definitely not. I don't think we're going to do this. I think this needs a time limit on it.
You're bringing in a new rule?
Well, I feel like it's just going to have to, because I feel like we're going to really struggle. Because I think there's going to be quite a lot of dead air while we're reading and looking. So, an hour and a half. I'm going to give us an hour and a half to try and link these two from now. That won't be the episode length. I'll edit loads out. But, yeah. You think we can do it in an hour and a half?
Oh, easy. I've got no... We can do this.
Okay. All right, then. What would you like to know more about? Dennis Law?
I know Dennis was hated because he didn't go Man United, Man City.
He went Man United to Man City and then relegated Man United by scoring a back heel against them. So maybe not Dennis Law.
Nothing. I mean, I've got a Plymouth Argyle save going on at the moment. Just got them to the Premier League.
Oh, very nice.
On their Football Manager. So I know a little bit about Plymouth Argyle. I'm not sure how they might have some...
I can name two celebrity fans of Plymouth Argyle.
Josh Widdicombe
and Robbie Williams.
Port Vale.
Oh, is it Port Vale, Robbie Williams? Yeah. Damn it. I can name one.
Let's go to Plymouth Argyle.
I can name one celebrity fan of Plymouth Argyle.
Plymouth Argyle.
Okay. Well, Josh, you've got a save with them on Football Manager. Five players, past or present or future.
Okay, go down there to give me a check. So I'm going to go for Mike Cooper in goal.
Yeah, Michael Cooper.
Patush Kamara in midfield.
Yeah, Patush Kamara, yeah.
Dan Scar?
Yeah, that's three.
Yeah. Ryan Hardy up front.
Yeah, Ryan Hardy. Yeah, number nine.
He scored me a lot of goals. He's been good. He got me to the Premier League when I disowned him. And
one more. The captain you haven't named.
Oh, I don't know who would be captain. They got Connor Grant.
Connor Grant. He's done it. Five people from the current. I mean, it's a small squad.
Let's see who else we've got in there.
Michael Cooper, James Bolton, Macaulay Gillespie, Jordan Houghton, James Wilson, Dan Scar, Matt Butcher, Joe Edwards, Ryan Hardy, Danny Mayer, Neil Ennis, Mikkel Miller, Connor Grant, Bally Mumba, Finn Azaz. They could be brand new because they're on loan from Premier League clubs or ex-Premier League clubs. Morgan Whittaker, Adam Randall, Brendan Galloway. Brendan Galloway? Was it? That can't be ex-Everton Galloway. Youngster from Everton? No, it can't be.
No, I don't think he was Zimbabwean.
No, I think he was English, yeah. Callum Burton, Patanuche Kamara, Luke Jepcott, Finlay Krask and Will Jenkins-Davies. And that is the whole squad.
Yeah. It's hard to name them because some of them are so bad, I shipped them out within about a week.
Yeah. Nicknames, the Pilgrims, what do we feel about that?
Nice, it's going to have some historical reason, I'm imagining. Yeah. History, let's have a look.
And how do you feel about their team logo, the badge? PAFC.
Is that going to be to do with Pilgrims? Is that going to be the reason that the boat, the ship, is there going to be Pilgrims on board?
Yeah, potentially.
Home Park is a very weak stadium name.
It's not the best, yeah.
The club crest features the Mayflower, the ship that carried the Pilgrims to Massachusetts. So that's going to be for what they celebrate Thanksgiving then?
Yeah, that's America, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I must have left here to go to America.
Oh. Yeah.
So the reason I took them on in Football Manager, because they've never, it's a city, Plymouth, we've never had a top flight side. So they've never been in the top league.
Nice.
Till Josh Cole comes and manages them, and a mere 5 years later, gets them there. So my memory of a manager here is Paul Sturrock.
Yes, yeah. Great nod that, yeah.
And if I had to pick a past player, I've only got one, Phil Jevons.
Phil Jevons?
Yeah, wasn't he an Everton youth player? Maybe a little bit two-footed forward, dark hair, kind of wasn't really a striker, a bit of a kind of wide forward. Yeah, that's who I remember.
There is some interesting names in here. Young Player of the Year winners, we have Craig Cathcart in there.
Oh, okay.
Young Player of the Year 2013, Connor Hourihan of Aston Villa.
Oh, yes, well, I know the name, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, there's a couple of people in there. They've got a team of the century.
Do we know any of them? So, no, don't know any of those.
No. They've had two players ever go to the World Cup, George Baker for Wales in 1958 and Rory Fallon for New Zealand, I want to say that is.
Yeah, New Zealand 2010. That's a nice one. Nice and too recent.
We've got the club officials. We've got they don't have a president at the moment, but they've got a secretary, head of marketing. Bloody hell, they've put everything on here.
This is a pretty thorough page, isn't it?
It is.
Managerial history. So we've got, who's man? We've had Peter Reid's been there. Paul Sturrock, I think, has a few, hasn't he? Paul Sturrock, yeah, too. Tony Pulis has been there.
Current manager, Stephen Schumacher. Now, I want to say he was a young player for Everton at one point.
There seems to be a little bit of an Everton link here. Do you not think we've come back to Everton? I think he's a previous Evertonian.
Yeah.
I agree. Colin Wanker has managed them back in 1995. Peter Shilton, Steve McCall. Okay. Nothing which is... Oh, look at 1907. Was managed by a committee, a Great Britain committee.
Nice.
First time I've ever seen that on a managerial history.
Yeah.
Have I got anything about a Peace Cup?
Oh, hello. I like that. I like this, that. Club record. They have a record for the fastest five goals ever scored.
I saw that as well. Is that in different games or in...
No. Argyle defeated Chesterfield 7-0 at home Pride Park. No. Home Pride is a pasta bake. 7-0 at home park to record their joint biggest win. In the process, they also broke the English record for the fastest five goals scored in a professional game. 17 minutes.
The club scored five goals in 17 minutes rather than one player. I'm thinking that's yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, wow.
Although in 1960, Wilf Carter did score five goals in one match. So he's got the fastest five goals in one match because he's the only one to do it.
Oh, hang on. Are you sure about that?
If for Plymouth.
Oh, for Plymouth. I thought you meant worldwide. I was like, Jermaine Defoe definitely scored very quickly against Wigan.
Yeah, yeah, because there's like four or five players, you know, Aguero, Defoe, I want to say Shearer, Andy Cole.
Yeah.
A few of them have done it in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Okay. Sponsorship. So they've been Puma for a while. Ginsters are sponsoring. They have done for a while, actually.
I quite like the fact that the Pilgrims had their kits made by Pilgrim for quite a long time.
Yes.
Nice little touch. But okay. What do we now? We could fluke our way to a player here that has potentially played for a Peace Cup team. Because we've got quite a lot of different names in here, nationalities. I'm looking at the Player of the Year section.
You're looking at Paul Arnold Garita?
No, I was actually eyeing up Christian Timar, who's Hungarian, which won't help us at all. Well, I'm pretty sure
Ruben Lamires was a Spurs youth player.
Yeah, but he's their Player of the Year in 2019. Would he have played? Take 16 years off? No, 14 years off his life.
Oh, I might just be using Tottenham. But if you were actually wanting to go into that era, okay.
Ooh, well, no, I think you could have an accidental good feeling here in the fact you take someone that's older now who was a youth player back then who may have got games. It might say he made his debut in the Peace Cup.
I am feeling like the three French players in 2007, 2009, and 2012 are, we need to look on one of those. Lilian Nalis
is a great name.
And Maxime Blanchard.
I'm happy with Lilian Nalis. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to say you can pick one of the French guys or you can pick Ruben Lamires.
So what years did Lyon win the tournament? Lyon were both, it's early, isn't it? So you should probably go for the earliest one. Okay, let's go for Lilian Nalis, the 2007 Player of the Year winner for Plymouth.
Now, before I click on him, I think I recognise the name Lilian Nalis. And I think he played for Bordeaux.
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
You're wrong, but I'm wrong. Guess.
He's played for a lot of other French teams other than Bordeaux.
He also had a little stint at Leicester.
Yeah, and Coventry.
I have no recollection. So, Lilian Bernard Pierre Nalis is a former French professional footballer who played as a midfielder. In 2019, he became technical advisor for the Academy of SC Bastia, who are on, what's that island? It's
Corsica.
Yes, correct. So he played in Ligue 1 for Caen, Guingamp, Le Havre, Bastia, Serie A for Chievo, Premier League. It was Premier League for Leicester. And Football League for Leicester, Sheffield United, Coventry, Plymouth and Swindon. Okay.
He scored in the Premier League for Leicester, scoring against Leeds United with a smashing 25-yard volley in 2003. Make a note of that. I'm going to Google it later.
Yeah, we'll see if we remember that goal. Yeah.
Yeah. He's transferred to Sheffield United, lost his place early in the season. He went on loan to Coventry before moving to Plymouth in January 2006. He was voted Fans Player of the Year 2006-07 and signed a one-year extension.
So that's the year he won. So he won Fans Player of the Year, also won... Is that what the award was?
Yeah, Fans Player of the Year.
Yeah, and then was released a year later.
Yeah.
Final season in England, now he's returned to France by signing for Corsica-based... Bastia, okay.
It says midfielder. He doesn't have a style of play. I'm going to say it's just defensive midfielder.
He looks to me like a bit of a Laurent Kana. Really destroying, spraying it about. And that's where he's there, lurking outside the box, waiting for him to mop everything up, scores that long range goal.
I mean, he's only scored 32 goals in 469 appearances.
Yeah, so I mean, a third of them were for Laval.
Yeah. Okay. So
he's always been the assistant. Now RC Long, he's now assistant. Okay, so
I've spotted a thing, you know, an action.
Action, hit me, Dave.
It's more of a checkup because it says he's currently RC Long assistant manager, right?
Yeah.
But in his club information, his current team is SC Bastia academy advisor. Is he doing both? Is that wrong? Has he left Long? I'm not sure.
A very strange dual role, wouldn't it?
It would. So I think we just need to check that. It does say on July 2019, Bastia announced Nalis has returned to the club as technical advisor for the club's academy. On May 9th, 2020, it was announced Nalis would be joining RC Lon. So
okay, so it seems like RC Lon's correct. We need to update accordingly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've kind of doubled down on France now. So we can now go to try and find Lyon.
Yes.
But
But we don't have any. Oh, it's just we don't have any other players to click on, right? Other than Frank Hayes is the current manager of RC Lon, so we could see what else he's done in his life.
Yeah, I'm happy to see what he's done rather than going straight to a club.
I was just thinking we could use this as an opportunity to learn about a French club. Guingamp have always interested me, and I don't know anything about them. They've got a terrible logo. That's all I know about Guingamp.
I'm easy. I don't mind learning about any of the French clubs, actually, because I just know a little bit. So choose your French club, and we'll go there.
We're going to Guingamp, yeah. Guingamp, you're the French speaker.
On avant Guingamp. Yeah, I'm not sure. About them. So they are nicknamed the Costa Maricans or the Red and Blacks.
That's by the way, that to the listeners, that nickname is translated and me and Josh still struggled to actually read it. It's Les Costa Maricans, and then it's like the Costa Maricans, which is something to do with Morocco and the Costa del Sol, I don't know.
We've got them here as Mohicans. So they're from Brittany, really, so which is not really near that area. They founded in 1912 and play in Ligue 2. The club has appeared in Ligue 1 and is known for its relative success given the small population of over 7,000 people. That's pretty good. That's a pretty small population to pull from. Oh, Dave's upset. What's the matter?
The club's only major feat was winning the 1996 UEFA Intertoto Cup. So they have won a defunct cup.
Have in a different universe, we might have chosen that one. Okay, but let's have a look. So what they got, and we're not going to know anyone past them. Anyone, well,
not past.
Present, sorry. Past, they've got a pretty good youth side previously, didn't they?
Yeah, Drogba, Malouda, Abriel, Vincent Candela, Guy Lacombe, who used to play for Monaco, because I just came across him on my 03-04 save. Florent Malouda played for Lyon, right? That could be a link out.
Florent Malouda and Drogba's Marseille. Yeah, Malouda is definitely an option. I mean, I'm not quite sure when, but Malouda might have it in his honours, no? Isn't that a good time?
Maybe.
Vincent Candela? Where else did he play?
Apart from Roma.
Did he also play at Bayern? No, that was Willie Sagnon.
Willie Sagnon. I've signed him on my 0304 save as well. Vincent Candela, fullback for Roma is how I remember him. We don't see this very often on Wikipedia pages, Josh. A timeline.
Do you know what? I'm here for it. I like it.
Yeah.
I like things in order because often we read these pages and try and have to work out the order of events. But founded in 1912, first promoted to the third division in 1976, straight to the second division. We're in the second division, and it's a lovely timeline graphic as well. So they're in the second division for many a year, for about 20 years, got relegated, got promoted again. So they had a double promotion, back-to-back promotion. They spent 3 years in Ligue 1, relegated. We're only there for 2 years. Promoted again to Ligue 1, 4 years. Relegated for about six. Relegated again. They almost did a double promotion again, didn't they?
They did.
So in 2011, was it?
Yeah.
2010, they relegated to Ligue 2. In 2011, promoted back. And 2013, promoted to Ligue 1. And they won the Coupe de France and appeared in the Europa League.
I'm a massive fan of that timeline. That's brilliant. Mm. That graphic is brilliant. Yeah, very, very good.
Do like back-to-back success, like triple promotion. And then in 2011, they were in the National League, like third division. And in 2014, they had already won a cup and were in the Europa League. That's like they're the peak times. If you've lived through 94 to 96 and also 2011 to 2014, you're just loving life.
Yeah, you really are. I don't know any of their players. They don't have anyone that I recognise who's like got older and dropped down a division.
No, Suleiman Diarra, maybe, but unfortunately it's a reasonably common name. I do like Felix Aboah. It's a lovely name, but no. Have we got any notable players? Yeah, so we mentioned a few, haven't we?
Oh. In 2009, 2010, UEFA Europa League knocked out in the playoff round by Hamburg, who won the Peace Cup in 2012.
It doesn't mention that, but the hamburger in the table, yes.
That would be very fortunate if it had it in brackets.
Okay, then, yeah. It was something we'd gone in and edited it. Who also won the Peace Cup? Yeah. What about notable players? Anyone else we can think? Jimmy Briand? Anything else from Lyon days that we may be able to get? Thibaut Guirassy, I think, was a legendary player. I think it was in the 80s. I want to say.
Okay.
Anthony Knockhart, Laurent Koscielny. I want to say Johan Rivière.
Yeah.
The penultimate column was a Lyon player.
Okay.
I feel, I know, part of me feels like we should try for a player to get to Lyon, and then part of me also wants to look on Hamburg. What's your feelings?
I don't mind either way. I think, I don't think we're going to do it. I still don't think we're going to do it, even getting this far. But I'm trying to remember what the stats were that you gave in the quiz episode. It was a lot of players, right? It's normally always highest percentage. Yeah,
typically we have players. So players make up around 45% of our clicks.
And clubs make up roughly
20%. That is
20%.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should bump that club rating up a bit.
Oh,
no, you don't like doing club to club, do you?
I don't like doing club to club, and I feel like we're pretty silly going down the route of France to then just divert to Germany.
But we've got a team right there that's won it, and you said you could get in by a winner.
Yeah. All right.
That's I'm just using that as an I'm trying to support
you.
Yeah, no,
it's right there because there's no. I mean, obviously we would find Lyon on, but it's something to say it'll be on those pages. Let's go to Hamburg.
Yeah, Hamburg.
Hamburger SV Sport Veren, common name is Hamburg FC, SV. We call them Hamburg.
Hamburg. Five players, past and present.
Raphael van der Vaart,
Michael Mansion, Vincent Kompany,
Jerome Boateng.
Oh yeah,
Lewis Holtby.
That's five.
Yeah,
between us, that's if they're there. Anyway, there we're going to check that out. Nicknames: Di Rothsenden, the Red Shorts, and Der Dino, the Dinosaurs.
Oh, that's a funny one.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's a very. I mean, it's badge. I don't like his badge. It's a few bits away from being a swastika, if I'm honest.
I think it's very. I don't think it's that close to being a swastika. I do think it's very going into battle in the medieval times on a big banner, sort of thing.
Yeah, on a horse. See it on a banner. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I do quite like. I think it's. Is it or is it Schalke's? I'm going to mix it up here, but either one of them have quite a high side to it all. The first row of seats is quite raised, which I quite like.
Okay, nice.
They've actually had a really rubbish time of it recently because they're in the second league, aren't they? They got relegated last year or a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they're in Bundesliga 2. They are in Bundesliga 2. It's a quite big page, actually. I'm just scrolling down, modern era, golden era.
Oh, as it is one of Germany's oldest clubs, it is known as the Dinosaur.
Ah, there you go.
Main rivalry with Werder Bremen, who they contest the Nordderby, and Hamburg base St. Pauli, who they contest the Hamburg Derby. I think Hamburg's a very industrial area, if I recall.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. Was it Kevin Keegan? Is that Kevin Keegan's Germany team, Hamburg?
It might be. Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. The club then signed English superstar Kevin Keegan from European Champions Liverpool. Yeah, so that was... I mean, so, in 78, Branko Zebek was appointed trainer at HSV. The Yugoslav led the club to his first ever Bundesliga title in his first season in charge. Keegan top scored for Di Rothesen and was awarded the Ballon d'Or for the second successive year. Wow. Nice work, Kevin.
Yeah. Quite a lot of modern era relegation and mispromotions. There's a lot of detail here. They play their home games at the Volkspark Stadion, which definitely sounds like it's something to do with Volkswagen. Built on the site of the original Volkspark Stadion, opened in 1953. It was a venue for the UEFA Euro 1988, or Euro 1988. It's hosted Europa League and Champions League finals. Site of the four group matches and a quarter final in the 2006 World Cup. So it's quite a highly recommended or renowned stadium. Yeah. Hosted the 2010 final. Yeah.
The 79-80 season was a bit of a tough bitter pill to swallow. They were beaten by Nottingham Forest in the European final 1-0. And in the Bundesliga, they missed out on the title by 2 points.
Ooh. Ouch. It's
tough to take. Martin Jol was a manager there. I remember that, yes. I think it was after Spurs, I think. Torsten Frink, remember him?
Who? Torsten Frink?
Yeah.
Frings?
Not play, remember?
Torsten Frings?
No. There's a Frink as well.
Oh, no. I think the only Frink I know is Professor Frink from The Simpsons.
Okay, I'm just going to go down and have a look at honours.
Yeah, it's domestic. Not in there, Josh.
Oh, it's not in there.
It's not in there, but they do have the British Occupation Zone Championship winners, 1947-48.
They won worldwide competition. They won the Intercontinental Cup in 1983.
Yeah, so that's how low and not regarded the Peace Cup is.
This is calling into question if Leon will have it. If we go down that route. Oh, current squad, they've got an Englishman, Xavier Amaechi.
Oh my God. What? Head coaches since 1963. You just mentioned him. Thorsten Fink. Honours, 2012 Peace Cup winner. Oh my God. I bet you're happy we came here now, aren't you?
Oh my goodness, yes. Look at him with the Peace Cup. And they've not even mentioned it in their main honours, unfortunately, as an action.
You're going to write that in as an action?
You're mentioning an honour in that, in this column here.
True. Yeah. And you'd literally just mention him, and I was like, I don't even know who that is. Thorsten Fink.
Yeah, I just saw his name higher up, and I was like, oh, I recognise that name.
Manager, 17th of October 2011 to the 16th of September 2013, and they won it in 2012. So, there you go. Yes. He managed, or what is this, 700 days he was manager, 64 games, 21 wins, 18 draws, 25 losses, 32% win ratio. He was replaced by Rodolfo Cardoso, who lasted 7 days, played one game and lost it.
So a bit of a Spurs in there, because Frank Arneson used to be the Spurs director of football with Martin Jol. I think Ricardo Moniz was Martin Jol's assistant.
Frank Arneson, where do I recognise that name from?
He was director of football at Spurs and at
sorry.
Chelsea.
Yeah, that's what you just said. Sorry, I was thinking about something else.
Felix Magath managed them back in the day. Ernst Happel, who was a serial winner. I think he must have been there when they were winning. Yeah, he took over after Zebek won them cups, European Cup, Bundesliga twice.
I really recognise the name Bert van Marwijk as well.
Yeah. Why do we know the name? I think he's managed Holland, Netherlands. I think he's been national manager.
Well, I said it couldn't be done. We've done it in less than an hour.
Easy, mate. So, hold on. This is surely going to link to the 2012 Peace Cup. We're not there yet, Dave.
We're not there yet. Are we clicking on it?
Let's click on the 2012 Peace Cup. It's a subsection. I didn't even realise it had it on the first page we went on.
No, surely it didn't. No, it's taken me to just a whole new page.
Yeah, but I don't remember being able to click on that.
Sunderland were in it, and they lost to Sungon Iwam Chunma.
Oh yeah, they are. I know. So each in the back on the original page in the winners in each tournament, you can there's five more clicks you can get onto each individual year. Yeah. So okay, so I mean, surely it's going to be able to be clicked on. Surely. Yeah.
The Peace Cup. You can click it in the title. The 2012 Peace Cup was an invitational friendly.
Phew.
There you go.
So the 2012 one, just to give everybody the full vibe of it. So we had, the Seongnam Ilhwa Chunma, the South Korean side, Hamburg, Sunderland and Groningen. This is really a low version of it, isn't it?
No. There's a sentence there that explains it all, Josh. The other teams were partly chosen because of the South Korean football players they had in their squads.
Okay, so, who would have been Sunderland's? South Ki-hyun?
Yeah.
Did he play for Sunderland?
I think
as well as
so. Fonzie? They had a striker as well, didn't they?
We had one player, Groningen had, the crowd must have gone wild, 38 minutes into the third place playoff, and Suk-hyun Yun scores for Groningen. Everybody loved it. Cancelling out Connor Wickham's opening goal.
Fraser Campbell
and in the, Frank Noble won it in the 89th and 90th minute.
Yeah, 89th and 90th minute. That sounds like a well good game. Shit. The Dutch Mehmet Scholl scored for Groningen.
Yeah, in both their matches, in both losses.
Yeah.
So what's the point, really, mate?
He was top goal scorer with two, was Mitchell Shet that year.
Yes. Oh, it was Ryan Noble, not Frank Noble, sorry.
Yeah, wow. So Sunderland lost to Seongnam Ilhwa Chunma, and then Groningen lost to Hamburg, Sunderland beat Groningen in the third place playoff, and Hamburg beat the host team 1-0 thanks to a goal from Marcus Berg
in the 81st minute, leaving it late. They could have late in their first match. They scored a winner in the 80th minute. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done with an offside rule where you weren't allowed. You're only offside in the penalty area.
Yeah.
So
that would have been more exciting then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. There was 2.5 goals per match, so it's not too bad actually. Yeah.
It's in the top right somewhere in case Dave's thinking Dave did some quick maths there.
Don't tell him that. Yeah, don't tell him that. Right, the Peace Cup, Josh.
Through to Peace Cup.
Yeah.
And we are there. Is that so? We started the day at the Watney Cup, the English tournament for 4 years sponsored by Watney Man Brewery. To get out there, we chose one of the participants, Plymouth Argyle, because I am managing them in a Football Manager save. Plymouth Argyle had a previous Player of the Year winner, French, back in 2007. We're thinking that's going to be close to Leon. Leon competed in the tournament three times at least. Lillian Nallis. Turns out he didn't play for Leon, but we wanted to find out more about Guingamp, as they say. That presented itself with an opportunity. We had a path, go left, go right. We could pick a player who played for Leon and go there, or we could choose Hamburg, as they defeated Guingamp in the Europa League. We chose Hamburg. Hamburg looked pretty helpless. You know, we saw nothing in our honours list. But a rogue mention of a manager's name, and we scroll down to the head coaches since 1963, and there's an honours column. And would you know, Torsten Fink took Hamburg to the 2012 Peace Cup. And that got to take us to that year in question. I mean, a quick click to the Peace Cup in total takes us from Watney Cup to the Peace Cup in a mere 6 clicks.
Honestly, I believe we're going to complete every single episode now. I'm never doubting us.
I don't think you should. Wikipedia is, it's probably my favourite website ever.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. There's so much information on it. It's just, it never lets you down. It's like Stephen Fry. He knows everything.
Very true. Very true. I want to put a challenge out there to the listeners to say, if you think there is something that we cannot get from and to in the world of football, please do let us know. Because we've done...
Whoa, check out the big balls on Dave suddenly. They're going to find a page with like 2 words on it and it's from an unknown player.
We'll find a way in.
We'll find a way in.
We'll find a way in. Right?
We're the locksmiths, mate. We just get in.
Yeah. We've just done 2 defunct competitions that are nowhere near each other in timeline and linked those together pretty successfully, pretty quickly. We've done hard mode where we weren't allowed to use any players at all and still linked 2 things together. We've done women's football, which we knew nothing about and learnt loads on the way. Like, Wikipedia is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing. And much quicker than I thought this would happen. It's the end of this week's podcast. I thought we'd be here for much longer, but we're not. Thank you so much for listening. Do feel free to send in suggestions. If you think there's something we can't connect to, let us know. And you can find us on Twitter @WikiWanderers, on Instagram @WikipediaWanderers, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.